Greetings to all that came today. We're in a study of the epistle of Philemon, and so today I'd like us to stop on verse 7. This is part of the prayer that Paul is praying for this brother in Christ, and he says, "We have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, my brother." This is a picture of a New Testament church, and I'd like us to focus in on the close fellowship and intimacy that we find between the believers in this church that met in the house of Philemon. And as we've been talking about the short prayer that the Apostle Paul is praying, it's a prayer of thanksgiving to God for his brother, for his friend, for his fellow laborer. The word fellow means somebody that participates, somebody that puts his shoulder to the wheel and helps move the cart when it got stuck in the mud. We just heard a message from our brother from Kiev about the fact that as people come to Christ, sometimes they need a helping hand to help them come to Christ. And as the four friends brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus, and the doors were shut, and there was a lot of people there, they had to go up on the roof and open up the roof and lower him down in front of Jesus. By the way, that's a picture you would never see in some of the charismatic shows where they claim to heal people. That would be quite a show if they opened up the ceiling and lowered somebody that was paralyzed there, and somebody would say, "Rise up and walk." That would be tremendous. But we've already noticed in several past studies that Paul is a man of prayer. He approached everything in prayer. And before he addresses Philemon, he goes to God in prayer first about Philemon. His prayers were genuine. Paul had no hypocrisy. He was sincere. Remember a while back in Ephesians, we talked about the word sincere. And from the Latin, it comes from the word that means no wax. Sine, no wax, no wax. Remember, they would take pots and they would fill in the cracks in the pots with wax, and then they would paint them. And when a woman would buy this and go home and start to cook with it, the wax would melt. And the liquid, the borscht, if you will, that she was making, it would come out from the cracks. Paul was genuine, sincere. He had no ulterior motives in writing to Philemon other than to build him up in the faith and then ask him to receive and forgive and restore Onesimus back as a servant that had not been found faithful. Remember, the Apostle Paul in another place writes about our faithfulness. And as servants, as Christians, as fellow laborers in the church, above all, above everything else, a servant is to be found faithful. Vierne. Yes, he's writing this letter to Philemon, and he will be asking him to receive and to forgive and to restore Onesimus. And not just as a former slave that ran away and stole some money from him, but he's going to ask Philemon to restore Onesimus in a new position, as a fellow believer, as a brother in Christ. And not only that, but as not only in his household, to his position, to his job, but he's going to ask Philemon to restore and to receive for the first time, to receive Onesimus as a member of the church. Somebody on equal standing before Jesus Christ. If Philemon, as the leader of his home church, sat in the front row, he would have Onesimus sitting there next to him with no recollection of the past. And so today we look at the third characteristic of Philemon. We've already noted that he had a reputation. He had a reputation for his faith in Jesus Christ, and he had a reputation for the love of the saints, for the brethren. Secondly, we noted that Philemon, he had this love and this faith. He shared his faith. He had a testimony. He spoke about his faith and he lived his faith to the people. And in his ministry, we find that's his third characteristic, his love and his faith was expressed. So the ministry of Philemon. Philemon had a spiritual gift. All of us as Christians have spiritual gifts. There are several places in the New Testament, in Romans and in 1 Corinthians specifically, and several other places that Paul writes about the spiritual gifts that each of us has as Christians. Every single one of us, when we become a Christian, when God the Holy Spirit unites us with the body of Christ, when we are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, at that moment when we are justified before God, at that moment when we are adopted and become the sons and daughters of the living God, the Holy Spirit gives us a gift. And with these gifts, we are to minister to one another, Peter writes. So all of us have gifts, and our gifts are to be used to minister in the body of Christ. When we studied Ephesians chapter 4, we read about the fact that the pastors and the teachers teach the church so that the church would be built up. And then when the church is built up and when each of you is mature in the faith, and as you're growing, you begin to minister to the needs of the church, to the joint growth of the church, so that the church together, as one, united, we grow up into the knowledge and the image of Jesus Christ, so that when the world looks at us, when they see the light of Jesus Christ shining in us, when Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they will see through you, they would see me." So that is the goal of the church and the goal for all of our gifts. Now, there's a lot of Christians in the church that unfortunately do not know what their gift is. Their spiritual gift. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, then obviously you cannot practice it. You cannot use it if you don't even know what your spiritual gift is. And so if you don't know what your gift is, that is your assignment. Go home and start finding out what your spiritual gift is. Pray about it. Read the lists in Scripture. Philemon had a ministry and he had a gift, and he used his gift. The gift that Philemon had is listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. As we find a listings of gifts there, there is a very interesting word there that oftentimes as we read those gifts, we pass over the word. The word is helps. H-E-L-P-S. To help. That is a spiritual gift. The message, as I said, we just heard about helping others to come to know Christ. That is a spiritual gift. To be able to help somebody in need, your brother and your sister in Christ, that is a gift that's called helping. And Philemon had this gift. And he not only had this gift, but he practiced this gift. Now, we read before and we did a little history of Philemon, and we know that he was a man of means. He was a rich man. He had a house that was big enough that the church could meet in his house. I would love to have a house big enough to where we all gather in my house and have church together. But maybe a few of us could do that. Some of you that meet on Tuesday nights in a home, you know the intimate feeling of meeting with somebody in your house. And that's what Philemon was doing. And the Apostle Paul is 1,000 miles away, sitting under house arrest in Rome, and he receives visitors that come and they bring him the news about Philemon and his ministry and his gift. Epaphras, we read in Colossians chapter 4, came to Paul and he brought to Paul the good news that Philemon had not only come to faith in Christ and not only loved the saints and the brothers and the members of the church of Christ, but he practiced hospitality to people that as they traveled through the city, they knew that they could stop at his house and become refreshed. We read here, he says, the brothers have been refreshed by you. Their hearts have been filled with refreshment by you, my brother. To help somebody. Number one means that you recognize that they have a need. They probably have a need that they themselves cannot meet. The Good Samaritan, when he saw the man that had a need, he met that man's need. He helped. That's what Philemon was doing. In verse 5, we read about his love or his labor of love, the things he did. When Paul heard about what Philemon was doing, it brought him great joy. Now, joy is a fruit of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit produces in our life. Galatians chapter 5. We have a list of the spiritual fruits that the Holy Spirit creates in our life. And so what Philemon was doing, when Paul heard about it, it brings joy to Paul's heart, and Paul begins to exercise his spiritual gift of joy and the fruit in his life. Spiritual joy, of course, is something totally different than what we in English call happiness. We sometimes equate joy and happiness, but these are two completely different and separate words. Joy, spiritual joy that the Holy Spirit produces in our life, is part of the blessedness that Christians have. A couple years ago, we did several of the Beatitudes as part of the Sermon on the Mount. And remember, the beginning of each Beatitude is blessed, blessed, blessed are you. Blessedness is that joy, that spiritual joy that comes from knowing Christ. And this is something that was being experienced by both Paul and by Philemon and by the church that was meeting in his house. And so the joy that Paul has comes from hearing the news from many, many miles away. And it was based on the knowledge that this brother in Christ was practicing his spiritual gift. The second thing we notice here very briefly is Paul says that because of this, our joy is great. Великая радость. We read about the great joy that the shepherds had when they heard the good news that the Messiah had been born in Bethlehem. The angels had brought the shepherds the good news of the joy of Christ's birth. And Paul says we have great joy because of what you're doing, my dear brother. And we not only have great joy, but we have consolation. Consolation is the word that means to be at ease, to rest, to relax. Uspokoitsa in Russian, we say. And all of these things were a result of the things that Paul was experiencing in his life. And the last thing we refer to here in this verse is Paul says that the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Not just physical refreshment, not just brothers that were traveling and were tired after a long trip, after a long journey, and they would stop at Philemon's house instead of going to the Motel 6 down on the corner. I'm sure Philemon and his wife probably prepared a dinner and they had good fellowship there. But this refreshment here, this is spiritual rest of their heart. Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. The rest that we find in Jesus Christ. This was a gift that Philemon could share with them through their fellowship. And as a result of that, spiritually, the people that interacted with Philemon were refreshed. And then they could go back on their journey and continue to minister to others. Do you know people like Philemon? Do we have people like Philemon in our church? That's my prayer. And my prayer that every single one of us would be Philemon. Did you know that every single Christian has the gift, the spiritual gift of helping others? That is a gift that you must practice. And so my prayer today is that God would help us to recognize, if you don't know what your gift is, you can begin here. You can begin by helping others. You can see a need in the church and you can meet that need. You can give somebody a ride to church. You can meet somebody on the street and invite them and bring them to church. You can take somebody or you can go visit them. You can write somebody a card. You can send them a DVD. You can do many things. You can pray for them like Paul did. There's a lot of things you can do to help people. My prayer is that as Christians, as members of the body of Christ here, that knowing your capacity, you would begin to practice the spiritual gift in your life, in your home, in your church. And God will bless us as a result of that. May God bless His word. Amen.